Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Love Relationship Month. What a huge month. What a powerful month. Maybe the number one attractive category in your lifebook. My father, John Butcher, is on the line. How you doing, man?
I am doing great, Jordan. Hello, Lifebook Member. So good to be here.
Really excited for this category. Truly a category where you shine. You do amazing things in this category, man. Do you find that people approach you about this category more than any other one?
Yeah, this is our category of strength. Like I said last month in spiritual, you know, that's sort of been the category that we're still really, really working on. But this is a category that, man, Jordan, I just feel really, really lucky, you know, fortunate. And not that we haven't worked hard, because we've worked really, really hard, but I've got Missy, and that's just the most important thing in my life. So we adore the love category.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, humans in general could use a lot of work on this category, especially in the free world today. It kind of gets kicked by the wayside a lot of the time. So really exciting what you're doing. Yeah.
You know, in political climate that we're in today, I think it's tough especially for singles. Because basically the genders have been pitted against each other. And it's so friggin' sad to see the world looking at masculine and feminine as somehow, you know, competitive or friction sort of energies, as opposed to what masculine and feminine really are. You know, the yin-yang symbol? Masculine and feminine fit together exactly like that. They're the most complementary energies in the universe. Mm. And unfortunately, we've been sold a bill of goods that they're opposing forces. Really, really sad. I feel sorry for singles these days, because, you know, it's not so easy to find the love of your life, especially if you're burdened and saddled with the baggage that we have been sold over the last couple decades.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And over the last couple decades is right. This has been kind of a building thing. And I think you're reversing a lot of that work with this idea of consciousness.
I hope so, man. I really hope so, because there is nothing more magical than when two people come together in love and build a life together and live life together with and through each other. It's the greatest thing about being a human being, in my opinion. Mm. And so, you know, we would really like to heal a lot of what's happening out there right now, or contribute in any way we can.
I love it. That actually segues nicely into our first question. So let's jump into these questions. They're powerful. They're unique. Let's get ready to do it, man. You ready?
Let's do it.
First question comes from Jian Li. What is the internal and external work I need to do to attract my soulmate? Well, congratulations for approaching it like that, first of all, right? What an amazing amount of self-responsibility.
100%, man. I mean, first of all, Jian, you're thinking right. What is the internal and external work I need to do to attract my soulmate? That's just a question that's coming straight from a place of self-responsibility, which means you're already halfway there. Well, here's what I'd say. If your mission is to attract a soulmate, I'd say the best internal work should center around becoming the most attractive person you can become. And by attractive, I'm talking about attraction in the true sense, sort of magnetism, someone that people gravitate to, someone that other people enjoy the company of, want to be around, want to learn more about. You know what I mean, Jordan? Mm-hmm. It's not just about physical attractiveness, although that's a part of it too. There's a lot of different ways to work on it. You can work on your character traits. Character traits that are attractive to people, like kindness and compassion and humor and honesty and, you know, appropriate self-assertiveness and things like that. You can work on your character traits. You can work on your physical body. Make yourself beautiful. Make yourself strong. You can educate yourself so as to become a good conversationalist. You know, really be able to carry on an interesting conversation. You can travel and go out there and gain some life experience so that you become a more fascinating person with a sort of a deeper reservoir of subjects that you can talk intelligently about. And in other words, you can try to knock all the personal life categories out of the park. And I think when it comes to making yourself an attractive person, I think that Lifebook is a frigging great tool. You know, just focus on those categories and you're going to learn more, you're going to grow more, you're going to evolve as a person, and you'll just eventually just become, you're going to evolve to a great place and become more attractive. And then the second part of it, what kind of external work do I need to do to attract my soulmate? Here's something that we learned, Jordan, a few years ago when we were working with the then Lifebook president, Sandra Garrist. She came to us and, you know, she was in her 40s and she had had a number of great relationships, but she'd never found the love of her life. And she was one of our dearest friends. And she said, John, I miss, I'm really serious this time. I really am serious about this. And we said, all right, Sandra, well, let's sit down and really, really take a look at it. And the very first thing that happened, I share this in the new Lifebook program. The very first thing that I told Sandra in as loving and compassionate a way as I could is, Sandra, you know, you say that this is the most important thing in your life, going out there and finding your soulmate, finding the love of your life. But we know how you spend your time, and your daily actions and behaviors don't reflect what you're professing to be your highest value. Mm-hmm. You work your ass off, and that's what you spend 90% of your time doing. And so the first thing that we got clear in that whole exploration, Jordan, was if you're saying this is your most important goal, you should treat it as your most important goal, period. It's a goal like any other goal. Get crystal clear on your vision, develop your plan of action, take action on your plan every day, and pay attention to whether or not you're making progress so you can adjust your plan if necessary. That's the way to accomplish anything in life. And so let's do that with your love relationship. And we sat down and we made a strategy, and it was an awesome strategy. And I share it in the love relationship video that's available to all Lifebook members this month. And within 6 months, Sandra found the absolute love of her life. I mean, her soulmate, full on. She really did it. She set this as a goal and she achieved the goal. Now, the last thing that I would say about this, my final piece of advice is be open to what the universe has for you, because it may not be exactly what you expect. Sandra always thought that she'd marry a big shot CEO or an executive or somebody in the personal development business, because that's what she's been all of her life. But Bruce, the love of her life, is a guy who is a foreman of a steel mill. He's a real man. He drives a mop.
He's a fisherman.
He's a fisherman. He's a hunter. He treats her like a queen. And he is so thankful and grateful to have such a wonderful woman in his life. And she would have never guessed that she would have, you know, been with a manly man, but she could not be happier. The universe had something better for her than what she envisioned herself. So that's the third piece of advice. So I'm going to go through them again. Work on yourself. Make yourself the best, most attractive person you can possibly be. Step one. Step two, if you're going to really, truly have a goal to go out there and find the love of your life, treat it as a real goal. Get clear on your vision, develop your plan, take action every day, and track your progress so that you can adjust if necessary. And third, be open to the universe sending you things that you never expected that might be better than what you had in mind to begin with.
I love it. That's absolutely right. And that openness is so key. And that's what I saw with Sandra, was when she really opened herself up and started treating herself like she deserved it and treating herself like it was going to happen. I think that kind of openness really increased the magnetism. You know what I mean?
Well, I agree with that 100%. And I also think that that plan was so solid, there was no way it was going to fail. So we literally said, Sandra, you're going to have to put time into this. Hours a day, you're going to have to put into this. How are you going to meet candidates, online and offline? Let's develop a super robust strategy. It was funny, Jordan. It was almost like we're developing a sales funnel. And at the top of that sales funnel, we got to drive traffic. We got to drive as much traffic. We got to drive as much traffic as we can to your sales page, basically. And we actually, because Sandra did not like the online dating thing, we actually, you know, suggested that she hire a personal assistant to go through the first round of cuts. She hired a really good friend of hers. And I mean, it was just a beautiful strategy. It's all there in the Lifebook, in the Lifebook video. And I think that we actually created a document of that specific strategy. I'll see if I can dig that up and share it with Lifebookers this month.
Love it. Good luck, Gian. Next question, coming from Kathy. I have heard John and Missy use the word sex when they refer to physical connection they have. I believe one of their sacred choices was to have sex every day. Do they separate making love from sex, like most of us do? And if so, can they share more on the percentage of time they put into each area of such a wonderful relationship? Interesting question. Really interesting.
It is. Do these Lifebook members know what you what they put you through as my son talking about your parents populating all the time?
You know what? I think I'm finally jaded to it. It's a little bit
rough. I know you are too, Jude.
But I think this is kind of telling. I finally was just like, yeah, that's an interesting one. I'm jaded at this point. We're beyond it. But you know, I do find that interesting because I know that massage is a huge part of your and Missy's love relationship strategy.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Let me start by, as far as an answer to that question, by saying, first of all, we don't have, one of our sacred choices is not to have sex every day. That habit, that sacred choice is to use sex magic every day. And we probably shouldn't even be using that term because it's confusing, obviously. To us, sex magic is basically a world that means using the energy vibration that's created through deep physical, emotional, and spiritual connection to our advantage. And it doesn't necessarily entail intercourse every day. So this is about using that amazing connection that we have. It can consist of massage, sensual massage, with two different things. You know, full body straight massage or sensual massage, which is a little bit more intimate. Energy work, meaning putting our hands on each other and just feeling the energy circulating through our two bodies, which is very, very healing. And sometimes we do specific healing work on each other if either one of us is having a little, you know, affliction, a knee problem or something like that. We can heal each other for sure, putting our hands on each other. Most people don't know that and aren't dialed into it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can do that. It does include sex. It includes, you know, talking with each other, just being together. Our basic ritual is at night, we'll light our candles and incense, make our room beautiful. We'll start however we want to start. Sometimes we just start by walking around and talking arm in arm, getting ready for it. Sometimes we start making love. Sometimes we start with a massage. Just depends on where we are, you know, that day. And it always takes us to different places. We never know which components of sex magic are going to be, you know, the most important components that night. But it's not just about having sex every night. It's about using that sexual vibration to do whatever we want to do, to solve problems in business, to heal our bodies, to, you know, talk about our personal life and our life vision. And that's what we mean by that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the other part of that question, Jordan, was, do we separate sex from making love? And the answer to that for us is no. For us, it all happens on a continuum. We let it take us wherever it takes us. Sometimes, you know, we're real gentle and you know, lots of massage and touching and communication. Other times, it's way more physical. But we really don't. We just sort of go into that world and we see where it takes us. And it's one of the most beautiful things about our lives.
Do you think it's kind of like meditation in the sense that blocking out the time is the important part? You block out that time, you spend it together. Sometimes it's a, you know, very deep, enjoyable journey. Sometimes it's a little more arduous. I'm talking about meditation, not your sex life right now. Sometimes it's a little more arduous. Whatever it is, the point is you take the time to block it out. That's what's so powerful about the ritual. That's what creates the connection. That's
absolutely
what creates the benefits.
Fantastic metaphor. Fantastic metaphor. Exactly. And by the way, speaking of meditation, I should add, meditation is one of the things we do during our sex. We almost always, well, I shouldn't say almost always, about half the nights, we end with a chakra meditation.
Wow.
A Joe Dispenza, you know, like a 45-minute Joe Dispenza meditation when we're ready to go to sleep, and we'll just lay down by each other side by side, sort of in each other's arms, and we'll listen to a 45-minute meditation together and feel that energy circulating through both of our bodies, not just our one body. So yes, your metaphor is great, and also throw in meditation is one of the tools in our sex magic arsenal.
I love it. And that's the important thing, because everyone has different sexual rhythms. Like you, I know that you have probably have a very high functioning sexual rhythm, as do I, but not everyone's trying to get it on every night.
Yeah, exactly.
But you still need that connection time. Even if you're not going to, you know, go all the way to love town, you gotta at least get the connection.
No, you're 100% right. Every relationship is different. Every person's different. We all have different wants and needs and desires. And every couple has to sort of figure out what's right for them. For us, sex magic every night, all those things that I just talked about, massage, energy work, meditation, actual sex, talking about our life vision, all of that combined, it's a very, very important ritual for us. But again, everybody's got to kind of find their own thing. Mm.
Very, very powerful stuff. Thank you, Kathy. Good luck to you. Next question coming from Raphael. I'd like to know the importance of unconditional love and commitment in John and Missy's relationship and in love relationships in general. I have the feeling that nowadays commitment has become secondary in love relationships and it's only about emotions. Interesting take.
That is interesting. It's super interesting, Jordan. And I'll tell you why, because I'm going to do an audio, a secret audio, actually. I hope that Missy doesn't hear this, but Missy's birthday is this month. Love month, perfect, right? But I'm going to do an audio on unconditional love this month. And I'm really, really, really excited to share it because I've got a somewhat controversial view of unconditional love, which I'm going to share in this audio. Never heard anything like it, I guarantee. I'll just share a little bit of it here.
Please.
So in essence, I think the concept of unconditional love is more appropriate for people you meet on the street, humanity in general, your extended family, maybe even your kids, than it is appropriate for a romantic love relationship. I'm not a big fan of unconditional love when it comes to a romantic love relationship. And I'll tell you why. I don't want to give too much of this away because it's a really interesting string here. The word unconditional means not subject to conditions of any kind. A condition being a circumstance that affects something or has an influence on something. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to love somebody with no conditions attached, you know, that's a great idea when you're dealing with a rebellious teenager. Great idea when you're at the end of your friggin' rope to be able to love somebody who's given you fits in spite of that, or a negative family member, or a person with whom you disagree politically, or humanity in general. But in a romantic love relationship, what would a love that was subject to no conditions whatsoever even look like? I mean, by definition, it couldn't be based on any personal values that you might admire in your love.
100%.
Because values are conditioned.
Yep.
Conditions. Couldn't be based on any standards for judging, you know, desirable versus undesirable traits or behaviors. As a matter of fact, it could have nothing to do with any specific qualities or attributes at all in the person that you love. Now, what unconditional love is supposed to mean is I love you no matter what. I love you so much that circumstances are insignificant in the face of my love. I'm going to maintain this love for you, my admiration, my respect for you, even in the face of mistakes or bad choices or any situation that we find ourselves in. Doesn't matter what befalls us. So the true intent of the concept of unconditional love is to sort of elevate your love to the place where fickle feelings and petty arguments and mistakes and unhappy circumstances can't affect it, which is a cool thought.
And you live in that place too. That is where you live. No law, no thought, no man would keep you apart from Missy. But very specifically, what you're pointing out about unconditionality is kind of flies in the face of a healthy relationship.
Well, you know, it's kind of got a built-in negative connotation to it. If you think about it, unconditional love kind of implies, I will always love you no matter what. I will always love you in spite of anything. I will always love you even if X happens. I mean, let's face it, I will love you no matter what usually doesn't mean I'll love you even if we win $100 million lottery tomorrow and end up in a mansion by the sea, frolicking in the sun together, raising beautiful children and living out a dream life.
Even then.
That's not what it means. It's more like I'll love you even if tragedy strikes or even if you screw up and have an affair or in spite of this or that. Here's the deal. My love for Missy is not in spite of love. It is because of love. I love her for reasons. I love her because of who she is and because of what she is. There's only one Missy. There's only one of her. There's no one else on the planet with the particular set of conditions that makes her her. And the last thing I would want my wife to think is that my love for her is unconditional. Because loving her with no regard to conditions would negate the values and the attributes that I love most in her. I love her for everything she is and everything she does. And my love for her is infinitely conditional. Nothing could ever break it because it's based on there's too many conditions that support it.
Wow.
My love for Missy isn't based on the absence of judgment. It's the result of judgment. Value judgments are at the core of my love for her. They reveal the countless reasons that I love her. Bottom line is, I love Missy for reasons, and I want her to know what those reasons are every single day. I'm super excited to share this concept with the Lifebook community. And fasten your seatbelts on this one, because it's challenging and it's really wild.
This is interesting stuff, man. I'm excited to hear that. Hope that sheds some light, Raphael. Good question. Sparking some good pod here. I love it.
Well, stay tuned is the answer to that question. I'm really excited to share this with the community. I think you guys are going to absolutely love this. I'm going to share the reasons I love Missy. I'm going to share the reasons that to me, you know, loving her for who she is and for what she is infinitely more powerful than a love that could apply to everyone and everything that's not based on anything in particular. And I'll share that deeply this month.
Wow, that's really powerful. That's sweet stuff, man. Good luck, Raphael. Everyone stay tuned for that. Looking forward to that. Next question coming from Colleen R. Since they began their committed relationship, have John and Missy always known they were right for each other? Or have either one of them doubted their suitability as a match? If so, how have they navigated that? Colleen sounds smart.
Yeah, man.
She sounds like she's weighing some judgments carefully. And that's a tough one. What do you have to say to that?
Well, I'll tell you, and that's the second part of Raphael's question, was about commitment, which I didn't get to, which is great that she asked about commitment. So here is the deal. She said, have we always known that we were right for each other? And the answer is no. I don't think anyone can say, I've always known.
Very rare.
I mean, you gotta get to know each other, right? You gotta get to know each other. But here's what happened with us. We didn't wait around to discover it. Missy and I made a decision to go all in with this relationship early on, and we never looked back. We didn't do years and years of experiments to figure out if we were right for each other. At some point, we said, fuck it, we're all in. I mean, we are all in. And we're fully committed to this relationship, period. For this lifetime and any other lifetimes. We're soulmates. We're twin flames. You are the one that I choose to take this life journey with. And I'm going to burn the boats. The boats are burned. Now, that is a hard thing to do for both men and women. Our experience has been, we've worked with a lot of couples, that going all in with one woman can feel like a prison to a man. And going all in with one man can feel like a death of sorts to a woman. Like she's going to lose herself if she does that. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. But I will tell you this, if you're brave enough to do that with the right person, there are going to be prizes there that you can't get any other way. You know, like for instance, one of the things that Missy and I have never had to deal with, Jordan, we've never had to lose the energy that so many couples lose, you know, in fights and arguments when, you know, a lot of couples have to worry about if things get too bad, is this thing going to last? Never, never does that cross our mind. Never has it. We gave that up. You're the same way, man.
Yeah.
You and Ash are the same way.
I Jesse absolutely feel
are the same way. Yeah. Our kids are the same way. You're all in.
I don't know exactly what that is. Like you said, there's a reward to having that stickability and that. Listen, you can make it work with anyone, right?
Yes, you are right. You can make it work with a lot of different people.
Yes.
You could. And that's one of the things I think we worry about is finding that right, perfect. No, you could really make it work with a lot of people. But I'll tell you what, if you go all in like Jordan, you never, ever have to worry about or think or give energy to, what if my relationship with Ashley doesn't work out? Ever. That never crosses your mind. One molecule of that. Am I right?
You're 100% right, man. That's exactly
right. You have
no
idea how special that is, bro.
That's exactly right. And I think that that's why it's tough for Colleen, because she doesn't want to make the wrong decision. You know what I mean? That's what she's worried about here. Oh, I stuck with the person I shouldn't have, or I left the person I should have stuck with. That's the big fear, right?
Yeah. When Missy and I first got together, she was basically a farm girl and I was a broke-ass musician. We weren't the people that we are right now. We turned into the people that we are. This relationship made us more than we made this relationship.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I was trying to say. And that's what happened with me and Ashley as well, is we grew into different people, and we're so fortunate to have grown together and have grown into people that are so powerful, so effective, and such a perfect match for each other.
Well, Jordan, that's no accident, man. When you know, you guys have been together for since you were kids, basically. And when you make a commitment like that early on to learn and grow and share life together, you're going to evolve together on this beautiful track. So I would say one of the things that I think we really have to release, and you just pointed this out, is the notion that there's one right person out there for us. There's probably a million.
Mm-hmm.
There are 3.5 billion men and 3.5 billion women in the world.
That's a lot.
So whichever one you're after, there's 3.5 billion of them. There's probably a million amazing mates for you out there. There's probably a million people in America of the opposite sex that are exactly your age. Right. So I think this notion that there's one perfect person that just feels like so much pressure.
It does.
To try to, you know, net right. More along the lines of, I want to meet somebody who has the same kind of vision that I have, who can bring the same kind of commitment. I want an extraordinary love relationship. So most important to me is finding someone who has that same kind of a vision, because we're going to be building this and working on this for years and years and years together.
Yes.
And so those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I love that. And the building part is key. And then maybe finally, Colleen, my final piece of advice is maybe try to get out of your head a little bit. I can feel your intellect seeping through this question with how you weigh things with your mind and how you're trying to navigate things. Maybe try to navigate with your heart a little bit, if I can just be a little bit vague and cliche. Get out of your head a little bit and go down into your heart, maybe. Just a little advice. Good luck to you, Colleen.
Yep.
Next question coming from Lisa. Did you visit any couples workshops or retreats? If so, which ones and what were your takeaways?
Great question, Lisa. And you know what? Miss and I, no, the answer is no, never.
That shocks me. You've never done one?
We never have done one. Well, let me tell you something. Missy and I have an interesting approach to stuff like this. When we're really going deep on a subject, like when Missy's experimenting with some pretty interesting inner spiritual stuff, and what we do when we're exploring new territory or really taking something seriously is we tend to try to stay away from other people's interpretations of it, other people's rules surrounding it. We were not really interested, at first at least, in exploring what other people think about the subject. Now, sometimes we'll go out there and see what's available so that we can educate ourselves more. And you know, we love educating ourselves. But with something like this, we're so into our own path. We're so into our own experience. We're so fascinated by what we're discovering on a daily basis that we don't tend to gravitate toward other people's experiences. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just us or what, but other people's opinions and strategies, only when like we get stuck. If we get stuck and really need some advice, then I think we'll go out there and we'll look for some answers. But if we're experiencing massive growth and having fun and, you know, fascination, we're going to kind of stay on that track and see where it takes us.
You kind of create your own couples retreats.
Yes.
Just you, couple, your own couple retreat. But you've also done a couple entrepreneurship programs together. So I guess that's something, right?
Yes, we have done that. I mean, business is an area where it's really smart to get advice. And so is love, by the way. You know, you just pointed out something interesting and absolutely true. Miss and I don't tend to go out there and get a lot of advice when it comes to the love relationship category. And frankly, it's because we don't need to. This is the one that we've got dialed in. You know, it really is. And as an extension of that, I think, you know, a lot of dominoes fall when you have this one dialed in. It's really true. What we do, though, is we spend a lot of time with couples. We help a lot of couples, and we love couples masterminds, right? We learn a lot when we're working with other couples. But, you know, we don't read books like Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, that kind of stuff very much. We're pretty deeply into our own experience, and I think we're both fiercely individualistic, at least when it comes to this category.
Well, and I mean, also not to blow smoke or anything, but you're also really advanced. Like you said, you're kind of doling out the advice. I've seen you work with couples privately,
true.
And you probably learn more from teaching As I begin to teach poker to some of my proteges, I learn how much you learn from teaching. It is incredible.
Well, the old adage is you master what you teach, which is one of the reasons that we're so excited to release the Lifebook Leaders Program at the end of this year, and give Lifebook members the opportunity to create a Lifebook class in their own communities to spread this word. You master what you teach. You put yourself in that position, you're guaranteed to have, massive forward motion.
Oh, that's so cool.
And you're right. This is a category that I'm really grateful, thankful, and proud to say we've pretty much mastered. And I don't say that about every category for sure. Last month I was berating myself at how much struggle I've had in the spiritual category. But in this one, Miss and I are just very grateful about where we are.
I love it. It's fantastic stuff. Good luck, Lisa. Next question coming from Nicole. Ooh, fantastic question. Were there any childhood traumas or wounds that got healed thanks to your relationship? How long did it take and how was the journey?
Yeah, that's a great question, Nicole. Well, Miss and I have done a lot of healing work on each other, a lot. Physical healing, healing from addiction, emotional healing, psychological and spiritual healing, just general. And this is one of the ways that we use sex magic. We soak in that high vibration, and you don't even need to identify the exact trauma that happened. You really don't. You can just get into this general place of bliss and
repair
and healing, right? It's just coming in, and that can really take care of a lot of things. Yeah. Bottom line is this, Nicole. An ideal love relationship, in my opinion, would absolutely entail a lot of healing. Healing from the past, healing from childhood. That's just one of the great benefits that we get when we hit a certain level in our love relationship. So the answer is emphatically yes. Mm-hmm. How long did it take? It took us, I would say that Missy and I didn't really discover the power that we had to specifically heal each other until 20 years into our relationship. But that does not mean that it needs to take you 20 years. We discovered that on our own. I think that we can lead you to the door a lot earlier than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the journey was absolutely profound and remarkable. It is well worth the effort.
Well, you had a pretty tough upbringing, man. I'm sure you had a lot of stuff to work through. And I think having a strong, resilient partner next to you will help you not just recovering from any wounds, but growing in any field, right?
Absolutely.
It's a supercharging. What's the equation you share? 1 + 1 = everything. It's a supercharging mechanism.
Yeah. That's our algebraic description of our love. 1 + 1 = everything. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Having a love like that, having a healing, supportive relationship like that makes everything in your life better. No question about it.
Good luck to you, Nicole. Next question is coming from Ben. What are the things that made you fall in love with each other? Did those things ever trigger you later? How do you shift from being annoyed or triggered by the other to respect and admiration? Okay, I get this. So this is like, I love my boyfriend. He's so laid back. He doesn't let the world affect him. He's always so laissez-faire. And then 5 months in, you're like, he's just sitting on the couch smoking pot, watching TV with a lazy mother. Yeah,
totally. I love my bad boy boyfriend that rides a motorcycle. How's that going to work for you in 25 years? Yeah, it's a great question, Ben. So Miss and I, we've been together since our 20s and we were different people when we fell in love with each other than we are now. It was almost 30 years ago and we've changed a lot as human beings. What made us fall in love with each other in the first place? Geez, man, for me, it was just Missy's amazing character. She's just the most wonderful girl I've ever known or met. I mean, it's like, from a chemistry standpoint, Miss does something to me that no other woman ever has or will. It is what it is. And so, but I would say that the character traits that I fell in love with, we've left them in the dust. And I'm sure that she can say the same thing. Whoever I was 30 years ago, we've left that in the dust.
Mm-hmm.
This relationship created us more than we created this relationship. That's the deal. And the second part, do those things ever trigger me, I don't know, us maybe, but I'll tell you how we've found is best to shift from being annoyed or triggered, which is going to happen to every couple in the world,
right,
to respect and admiration. Our strategy is to move away from each other and give each other space. And don't friggin' open your mouth and mess things up. You don't have to do that. I mean, I'm just speaking from personal experience here. The way to handle it for me is to just take a little bit of time, take a little bit of a breather, don't do anything stupid, and reconnect with the reason that you love your spouse or your partner as much as you do. And I'm going to share a strategy in that unconditional love audio that we can all do, which is basic. I'll share it right now. It's incredibly valuable to make a list of all the things that you love about your lover. I did that for the first time on Missy's 37th birthday. I wrote a book called 37 Things I Love About You. Mm. I love how you look in dresses. I love how much of a wonderful mother you are. I love how we click our glasses together twice when we cheers. I mean, it was just 37, just simple, some of them were big, some of them were small, random things that I absolutely love about Missy and I absolutely love about our relationship. And I can refer to that anytime I want. I've got it. I've got it in my head. And so if I'm ever getting annoyed or triggered, I just try to take some time, get out into nature, just move away is the important thing, because if you don't move away, you're going to do something stupid. And then reconnect with why I love that woman so much. And then that fixes it. And boom, you come back and you're good. At least for me.
I mean, I think, yeah, decompression is huge, because that's, if just the word triggered shows some sort of compression, some sort of priming process. So I think you're right. I think decompression and kind of stepping away is always good.
Yeah, a workout's a good idea, by the way. For you, go hit the heavy bag or lift some weights, go for a run. That'll almost always do it. If it's not, and you know, look, it might sometimes be to the point where you do need to talk about it. In my relationship, it usually isn't. It's usually some stupid friggin' thing that doesn't even need to be discussed.
Yeah.
It just needs to let go and friggin' evaporate. But sometimes you need to have a situation where you're going to have to share a hurt, or you're going to have to share a disappointment or whatever. And then you want to come at that from a place of love and compassion. So decompressing, like you said, Jordan, is always a good idea, whether or not you have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And in that, like you said, I guess it's good to first internalize, see if it's something you can do, see if it's something you can change about yourself to fix the problem, because that's the easiest way to fix any problem, by the way, especially in a relationship, and see if that'll take care of it first. And then, like you said, move on to maybe having to externalize and have a discussion.
For sure.
Good stuff. Thank you, Ben. Good luck. Final question coming from Elaine. What are your top reasons to invest in a long-term relationship? It is a lot of work. Why is it worth it? Powerful, powerful stuff, Elaine.
Thanks, Elaine. You're right. It is a ton of work. It's a super high bar, an extraordinary love affair, an extraordinary marriage, an extraordinary partnership. It's probably the highest bar there is. And it's totally worth it. I mean, you guys, Miss and I have plugged into a magic current. And we know a lot of lifebook couples that have plugged into the same current. After 30 years together, our love for each other is more deeper and more powerful than it's ever been. We're communicating at a deeper level than we've ever communicated. Our sex life has gone to a completely different level. And we're using all of that power to build our dream life consciously. Our relationship is like heaven. This is the divine union of the masculine and feminine. I mean, we know each other better than we know ourselves. We put each other's happiness before our own. We feel the same feelings. This is divine love. Mm. Our relationship is a relationship of such magnitude that everyone sees it, man. Not everyone understands it, but everyone sees it. And most people really, really envy it and would really like something like this, and with good reason, because it's the best and most magical part of our existence on this planet. So I'd say yes, it's 100% worth the work that it takes.
Would you say that It's worth it because it's a path to divinity and it's totally doable. It's not some, you know, arduous life of deprivation and discipline to reach some sort of great spiritual enlightenment. This is a fun, wild, enjoyable kind of building process that lasts a lifetime that can get you to heaven eventually, like you said.
I could not have said it better. It's just the perfect way to say it, Jordan. It will entail so much personal growth on both parts. It will entail the most magical memories you could ever imagine that you'll be creating on a continuous basis. It won't always be easy. It'll have its challenges. The challenges of romantic love are great, but there's nothing that can even come close to giving you the same kind of feelings, the same kind of fulfillment, this isn't a class by itself. There are all kinds of other ways that you can have a great life and get fulfillment and meaning and purpose, but there's nothing quite like an extraordinary love relationship, right?
Absolutely. Love it. Powerful stuff here at Lifebook for Love Relationship Month. This was a great one, man. Some great questions today, right?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much, Lifebook members. We love you. We're gonna release a lot of great stuff this month. I'm gonna do a few extra things. Miss and I are gonna do a couple calls together. We're gonna do a Category 13 call, which will be specifically about sex, eroticism, passion, and that whole subject. We're also considering at least dedicating part of a call to our Lifebook singles and really going a lot deeper into that strategy of meeting the love of your life. And if we ever get our shit together, we need to get a Lifebook dating service, because my God, how awesome would that be, right?
Yes, that would be awesome, man. I really look forward to what we're doing. A lot of great stuff going on between Lifebook and Mind Valley. Send in your questions for next month. What do we have next month? Social?
Next month is parenting.
Parenting. Oh, I conveniently skipped over the kids. What do we Parenting. Send in your questions for parenting month and for every month. We really appreciate you guys doing that. Thank you so much, man. This was a great, great interview today.
Thank you, Jordan. Really appreciate it. Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you guys next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.